Welcome to our Worldwide Network for Success, WWYNS, your dedicated business radio station. The mission of our station is to help you learn how successful managers and business owners direct their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful.
Whether you're a professional, a business owner, or a high-level manager, our goal with each program is to provide you with at least one actionable idea you can implement immediately to build your success in business. And today our focus is on improving your ability to commence valuable customer relationships, or as is traditionally referred to, enhance your closing ratio. And today we're joined by Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, James.
Pleasure to have you here in our continuing story about sales and marketing. I think we have an excellent show ahead of us. Why don't you give our listeners some background on what types of topics and programs have led us to this point, and then talk about our topic today.
Well, we've been talking about doubling sales of any kind of a company in 2 years. That's a pretty ambitious goal. But if you break it down into increasing the value of the products and services that you provide when you make a sale by 12%, and you also increase the number of leads that you get by 12%, and you increase the number of customers that you actually get to buy your products by 12%, each altogether compounded will allow you to increase your sales by 50% in a year and by 100% in 2 years. So that's basically what's led us to today's show, and we're going to focus on increasing the number of customers who agree to buy your services.
And as we discussed today at our executive briefing, it's this idea of continuous improvement I think is important to talk about. A 12% figure over the course of a year is an interesting figure, but if you break that down by month, that's 1% enhancement each month. That sounds like a pretty
accomplishable, pretty achievable
task.
Goal, right?
Right.
I would say, and most companies or people that if you ask them if they could do it, would certainly agree that it's possible.
So we're talking about how to take small incremental steps. We're not only talking about how to take those small incremental steps, but which steps we need to take. And the idea that we talked about today was continuous improvement, which says we need to have a system or a mechanism in place that helps us achieve this on a regular, standard basis.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Why don't we talk more about the topic today, which is enhancing the percentage of closes, or the percentage of people that we see that we turn into customers. How do we accomplish that?
Well, some of it depends on what you've done up to this point. There are four ideal ways to do this. One is we can identify our ideal customers more effectively and contact those. How do we do that? Well, we look at research the kinds of customers we've had in the past, or the kinds of customers that are most profitable, or the kinds of customers we're best at delivering our services to, whatever of those makes sense, and we start looking and contacting those customers more effectively. So with we may have already covered that in the earlier part about lead generation, but I don't think we talked about this ideal customer, and it's certainly one of the characteristics of an ideal customer might be profitability.
Okay, so the way that the type of customer you're going to see fits into the equation is that if my marketing system works, you're suggesting that I should be in front of people who are more likely to buy from me, and we can control that. So if I had a choice to sit in front of
two different customers, one who's an ideal customer and one who's not so ideal, which one would you pick? It seems obvious you'd pick the one that's most ideal.
Okay, so by realizing that we have control over the marketing system that we implement and we're being proactive, we can now pick those customers that we have the best fit with in terms of needs and what we can deliver and pursue them.
Well, and this is somewhat a sign of a mature company who understands that some sales, it's just not worth making.
Right.
If it's going to cost you more money than it is worth it to deliver the product or service, you might as well not do it. You better save your time for a better customer.
So that's either a mature company or a mature salesperson.
Or a mature way of thinking, yes.
Right, because we have talked a lot about the idea of farming, and so I guess the way this fits into farming is that you now should realize you have the opportunity to pick the kinds of companies you're going to farm, like a farmer would pick the ideal a crop to grow or to raise.
Sure. An ideal customer, another characteristic of an ideal customer might be one who doesn't buy just for the short term, but who buys for the long term. so that you can have a long-term relationship. One of the points we've made on other shows is that the cost of acquiring a new customer is 5 times the cost of keeping a good customer from a marketing perspective. So where does it make sense to put your money? Somebody who's going to not be just a 2-month customer, but a 2-year customer or a 10-year customer.
Mm-hmm. So the idea, the way this gets back to our title of commencing valuable relationships, the reason that I'm averse to using the word close is that close seems to indicate you're going to get them to buy and then move on. And the idea really that commence, at least in my mind, brings about is starting the relationship. It should continue for as long as you have a valuable mutual relationship with that client.
Exactly. So that leads us to point number 2, is that once you know what you're looking for, now it's easy to bump into people and ask them the right questions about whether they qualify for your criteria, not so much for their criteria. Again, sure, everybody who's looking to buy something has the criteria in which they're going to buy. But if you're looking to sell to ideal customers and you can understand what it is they're looking for, if they don't fit your ideal customer criteria, then again, you may make a decision not to do business with them or to refer them to someone else or help them get something in a different way. And so you need a qualifying sequence that's effective. And I know many people that call me on the phone wanting to talk to me don't qualify me very well and generally don't get my business because there's not a good match.
So in this instance, this has to do with really how we implement our marketing system and whether our marketing system is doing a good job of sifting people who may be most qualified in terms of the size of their business or the timing, ready to buy now versus at some other point, so that we're not investing our personal time barking up the wrong tree or cultivating somebody that really is not going to buy.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now that we've qualified better, now we have a real understanding that this customer is worth investing our time with, and certainly any salesperson understands that they generally don't get paid until a sale is made, so if they're going to invest their time, they ought to be with the best qualified customers. And so now the next step is to have the company understand that not every customer's needs are exactly the same as every other. So just like any person buying a suit, usually some tailor-making has to occur. It's either because we've got a few more extra pounds or fewer pounds, and we need to either expand the material or contract the material so that the fit is good. And many companies seem to want to sell standard products. Now, from a cost point of view, from a production point of view, this may make a lot of sense, but it may not make as much sense as trying to make sure that a customer gets exactly what he or she both needs and wants. And when we understand those needs and wants, and if we're flexible enough to tailor make or adjust our packages to our customers' needs, now we have an improved opportunity to make a sale, because if we know exactly what they want and we offer to deliver exactly what they want, the question of whether the sale should be made or the relationship should be opened is certainly much more likely than if we're trying to convince somebody that they ought to buy something we want to sell them.
And correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't talked about this, we did not talk about this before the show, but it seems to me that with the business owners that I run into that sell standard products that are easily duplicated, or that tends to create more competition in the field. It tends to make them think that they have to sell on price more. There's less difference between products. You know, price, it really comes down to price. So I would imagine that by learning how to sell customized solutions versus standard products and services, there'd be a lot of benefits.
Absolutely. If we go back to this tailor-made suit idea, not only if I tailor-make the suit on the first purchase, but I offer to adjust it as my waistline increases or decreases over time, that customer is going to keep coming back to me, not just for the first purchase, but for service after the sale. So whether it's a car example or a suit example, if I can get the customer to get comfortable coming back to me, they're much more likely to buy from me again in the future.
You're listening to Your Network for Success. This is James Rorys with Consulting Task Force, and we're talking with Joe Camara, president of Consulting Task Force, and our topic today is improving your ability to commence valuable customer relationships, and we'll be back after these words.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Square. The Square designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586, 575-737-8586, or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
We're speaking with Joe Camara, president of Consulting Task Force, on your Network for Success. We're talking about improving your ability to commence valuable customer relationships. There are more than 100 events each year that focus on the guests and topics discussed here on your Network for Success. We also have cassette copies of all of our programs available to interested listeners, and those are free of charge by calling Consulting Task Force at 634-7013.
James, before we get on to the subject, do you want to talk a little bit about the event that's coming up this Wednesday?
Love to.
Ought to be a lot of fun and maybe some educational value as well.
Well, we like to provide our clients and business associates and friends with opportunities to have fun as well as learn a few things about business. And this coming Wednesday, December 21st, we have an event entitled Drive for 95, Taking Advantage of Sports Marketing Opportunities to Build Your Business. And we're going to learn about opportunities provided by the Buffalo Bills football franchise, the Crossroads Arena, and Sabres hockey franchise, the Buffalo Bisons. And we'll be meeting at the Caddyshack Golf Dome. And we'll have also as a special guest the publisher of Niagara Golfer magazine. And we'll be focusing on all the opportunities that these groups have to help us build our business as well as have a little bit of fun.
Sounds good. Maybe hit a few golf balls, I understand.
Right. We've got a free bucket of balls for anybody that wants to come, so you should bring your clubs as well. And to make reservations, let us know as soon as possible by calling CTF. Joe, we talked a bit before the break about the three areas within a business that we should be focusing on to help us close more sales, to develop more customers per prospect that we come into contact with. We talked about identifying customers, qualifying those customers, and we were on the topic of building skills. Why don't you give us some more information about that?
Well, we talked earlier about mature companies. What happens when companies or people or things mature is that there's a lot of experience built into that. And so if your company isn't experiencing increased growth, maybe there's an opportunity to learn from what we've learned or from what other companies have learned about building your business. And one of the things that helps companies accomplish this is skill building. You should be looking for training programs, and as we look at them, that are based on research or good factual ideas rather than myths. We think there are a lot of sales myths around, and for instance, one of them is closing. If you close more often, you'll hear a phrase you used off the air about always be closing, ABC. That's typically what that means in the traditional literature. Well, to us, ABC means something different. And so we're suggesting that you ought to be thinking about what you're doing in the way you're using your skills. How do you talk to customers effectively? What kinds of questions do you ask them? Is there a special set of questions that should be asked? Is there a way that your sales process unfolds? And if you're not very sure about it, the answer to those questions, then I think it's important to be looking around for a good, solid sales training program that helps you understand that and tie that again into a good marketing program.
Right. And I guess when we talk about building skills, we're not talking about motivation.
Right. Yeah, motivation is great, but it usually lasts a short period
of time.
Yeah. So the kind of motivation we like to build is success. As someone's successful in their skills, then they're likely to be more self-motivated. Self-motivation is the best kind of motivation. So if you look at skill building in any way, like ice skating or skiing or any kind of skill. It takes time to learn, but as you've learned to be self-sufficient and it's enjoyable to use that skill on your own, then you're self-motivated. So that's the way we like to look at skill building.
And I think there's a misunderstanding out there as well. I heard a very popular national radio host, business host, who said that he felt that successful salespeople were born and not made. And I believe that the comments he made after that led me to believe that he thought that there really was no way to train someone to be effective at sales, that it's, you either have it or you don't. And I would gather that you don't subscribe to that theory.
I don't, because I know that, I was never, before I started selling something, I was never trained in any kind of selling. And I realized the very first time I tried to sell something, I probably was as successful as a slug. I mean, really, it was just a bad experience. But the thing that it taught me was that I didn't know anything about selling, and I had to start learning about it. And to some major degree, I'm pretty much self-taught. And what does that mean? What that means to me is I've read a lot of books, I've studied what selling is about, and I practice what seems to me to be the best practice. And so it's culminated in a system that we use and that I believe you've learned a fair amount from us in terms of the way we sell. And it certainly is working for you, and it seems to be working for many of the people that we train and help learn what the process looks like and how to recognize when it's working and when it's not working.
Well, I think before my association with CTF, I can honestly say I hit a number of positions and went through a number of so-called training programs. And I think I can say today that if any business person has tried sales programs that haven't worked, it's in the past we used to blame it on the salesperson. But I think we can blame it on the sales training program, because there are some basic skills that help everybody become successful that don't depend at all on personality, don't depend at all on being manipulative or being able to talk fast, or being able to overcome objections. That's probably one of the greatest lessons I've learned, that it's not the individual, it's typically the program and the way it was implemented.
Well, and we make some adjustment for the fact that we tend to focus on big ticket items or large account selling. And there's a very different set of techniques for that kind of selling than there are for if you're selling hair dryers or VCRs. That's probably not a type of a decision that somebody needs to spend a lot of time really digging into and researching. So we need to make that distinction. The typical sales literature, the average sales literature, doesn't make that distinction at all. And so people get confused, because somebody who's selling a small ticket item is getting the same advice for somebody who's selling a big ticket item. And so we're trying to at least separate those two types of selling in the way we recommend, and probably much of what we recommend would not be cost effective for somebody that's just selling widgets in small amounts.
Okay, well, Joe, let's give our listeners some of the how-tos. We've given some recommendations, and let's talk about the way that we recommend people actually implementing the things we've talked about. Let's talk about identifying ideal customers. When we first talked about that, you talked about looking at our current customers in terms of who are the most ideal.
Let's think about identifying ideal customers. We've got some way to make a decision about what kind of ideal customer we have. Then the question is, how do we find them? How do we find more of them? Well, that's really a research function, and you do pretty well with the database searches. Maybe you should talk a little bit about that.
Well, it seems to me that if you don't have a big database of people that you know that you can sell to, that the place to start is to identify a universe that you can work off of. And typically databases are very well developed in terms of identifiers like SIC designations, standard industrial codes, size of a business, number of employees the business has, and those kinds of characteristics alone can tell us a lot about who our ideal customers are and help us go out and find them. So really just that kind of analysis and looking at your current information about your current customers can tell you a lot about how prepared you are to take advantage of the recommendations we're talking about. Many companies don't keep this kind of general information about their customers, and because of that, it's very difficult to go out and duplicate those specific customers. What happens is we fall into the trap of just taking whatever walks in the door or working with whoever happens to want to talk to us. And that's really not something we would recommend.
Well, and there's also a lot of ways to identify customers that are interested in specific things. For instance, magazines. I'm sure most people are aware that magazines keep lists of their subscribers. And many magazines have bingo cards and things where you can circle your specific interest. And so the people who are collecting that kind of data offer it for sale. And that's very, very valuable. And if you even investing a couple $100s allows you to just make one extra sale that you wouldn't have made otherwise, it's certainly well worth the investment. So that kind of research is a very valuable tool.
Thanks, Joe. For our listeners, we're talking about improving your ability to commence valuable customer relationships. We're talking about improving your closing ratio for your traditional salespeople. We're talking with Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force. This is your Network for Success. We're going to come back after a few short words.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Squared. The Squared designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586, 575-737-8586, or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Welcome back to your Network for Success. This is James Rorys, Vice President of Business Development with Consulting Task Force, and we're talking about improving your ability to commence valuable customer relationships. You can tell this is live radio. I almost read the title of last week's radio show program.
Huh?
Joe, we talked a little bit about the how to identify your ideal customers. The next two steps out of the three, marketing in terms of qualifying properly and sales skills, really center around asking the right questions. Qualifying in terms of what are the things you need to know about these people to understand, or these companies to understand if they're good prospects. And the other, how to ask the right questions to cultivate the right kind of relationships. Why don't you give us your perspective on that?
Well, we talked about not basing your sales skills on myths, and again, here's an area that a lot of people seem to think that they do pretty well in, but again, some of the research indicates that there are certain kinds of questions that are better than others to ask. And so in the qualifying process, we want to know bottom line questions. If somebody is selling real estate, the best question is, are you in the market for a house? If the answer is no, there's really not a lot of value in spending a lot of time trying to convince this person that they should be. Now, maybe that's a good idea, and what we try to think of is qualifying or separating leads into low, medium, and high prospects. And we don't want to invest our time much in trying to convince low-interested prospects or mediumly-interested prospects that they should become highly interested. We'd rather work with highly interested prospects right from the beginning. And so when we do that, even though they're a much smaller percentage than the total population, we're investing our time with the best possible prospects. Once we get to meet a prospect personally, we want to find out about their wants and needs. And we spend a lot of time really understanding that, but we don't just leave it there. We want to find out more about what kinds of solutions they think would fit those particular needs, and so we can tailor make our proposal specifically to those needs. And so when we have a good fit, we found out exactly what they want and need and how they think the solution would work best for them, whether it has to do with money or cash flow or timing or the amount of the project in the beginning, the middle, and the end, we can adjust our program to meet their needs. And our customers can do the same thing. It just takes some flexibility on their part.
Joe, I noticed you didn't mention giving a presentation, or you didn't talk a lot about telling people.
Right.
Why not?
Well, we don't think telling is selling. We think asking is selling. And so the better questions we ask and the better we can formulate a response to those questions that fit the needs of the customer, then the presentation comes down to how does what you need and what we got fit together. And when the fit is good, the chance of the sale is really much greater.
Well, it seems to me also if somebody buys into this perspective of customizing a solution for a client based on their needs, you've got to have those the answers to the questions that are going to help you develop that package. If you spend a lot of time telling, you're not helping yourself or your customer get what they need.
Sure, and you may be telling them things they absolutely don't want to hear. I don't know how many times you've gotten a telemarketing call when somebody tells you that you ought to be buying something you have absolutely no interest in, and they're just wasting their time and yours, and you either have to be rude and get them off the phone, or you be polite, waste your time, listen to the end and say, I'm not interested, and they don't understand why you're not interested because they've done a great presentation on the phone telling you all the reasons you should buy, and you're just not in the buying mood, or you don't have the cash, or it doesn't, you've already got 10 of them, or whatever the reason is. It's just not good selling.
And I think since you brought up telemarketing, we know that the telephone is a valuable tool. Would you recommend that we do a lot of selling over the phone, or would you recommend a different use for the phone?
You hit it right on the head. I wouldn't recommend selling anything over the phone unless it's a very small ticket item. Maybe Time and Life magazines is a great thing to sell over the phone. But for bigger ticket items, for something that's a little bit complex where people need education, we think that the phone should be used for qualifying and not selling.
And asking those right questions.
That's it.
Joe, what's the bottom line of what we've talked about today?
Doubling your sales in 2 years, or even better. Again, if you do all of these things and improve incrementally in all of these areas, not only is 1% a month for 12 months compounded, it really is 13 or 13.5%, and all those 12 things compounded really is much more than just a 50% increase. But most companies that are getting started need a time to ramp up. Nothing is instantaneous. It's not like flipping a switch. It takes time and development of skills and adjustment of your product service packages.
So you're talking about doubling sales over the course of 2 years.
2 years.
And the opportunity here is that if you do, you can do this with each one of the individuals within your organization. Obviously, you'll bring your organization along to reach the same objectives.
Absolutely. And all we're focused on is sales. We haven't even talked about how to decrease your costs.
Excellent. Thanks, Joe.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more detail. That's network, the number 4, success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6. Our program, The Leading Edge of Supply Chain Management, was brought to you by Supply Chain Optimizers. SCO is a logistics company known for providing personalized, end-to-end cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving the hundreds of opportunities firms have hidden within their supply chain activities. If you want to download 15-minute segment podcasts of this program, simply go to www.networkforsuccess.com. That's network, the number 4, success.com. This program was produced and directed by Your Notebook for Success and is copyrighted as of March 11th, 2013.